League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Quick shot, score! The U.S. with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid, gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, hour number two, as we continue to go live at 713-780-3776. Yeah, that was a fun first hour. Great interviews, Artur, Alexi Lalas. A little into the U.S.-Mexico tonight. That's going to be a really, really interesting game, despite the fact that it's a friendly for a variety of reasons. Two new coaches. It's kind of a reset for both of these teams. Yeah, this is it's good stuff, fun stuff. 713-780-3776. You got thoughts on the U.S. men's national team, Mexico, tonight? Any thoughts on the Houston Dynamo? Keep that number close because the Dynamo will be in action against the LA Galaxy this weekend. Third highest goal scoring team in Major League Soccer. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight here. We'll set that game up as well. The LA Galaxy are number one in the West. The Dynamo are number five in the West. They have scored a remarkable 68 goals, the LA Galaxy, to be third in the league. They've got four players with, I believe, 10 or nine plus goals. Pantzil, Ricky Pooch, Dejan Jovalic, and Gabriel Petch. So interesting. And it was interesting to hear Artur talk about how things might be a little bit different against them because they have so many individuals that can hurt you. But the big weapon for the Dynamo, again, will be possession, controlling the game, staying in the game, and then hoping they can produce in the final third, which still remains the big question for the Dynamo. By the way, they have not really played well in the last three games, to be fair. 1-0 loss at Seattle, 2-1 second half win at home against New England, one of the worst teams in the league. From what I understand, the atmosphere in New England is almost toxic in the locker room. And then getting beat at St. Louis 3-0. So the Dynamo need a good game. I believe in MLS, it's the way you enter the playoffs. Okay, no different. It's momentum in a lot of sports. It's the way you enter the playoffs. So I think a good game against L.A. positions the Dynamo well to do better in the playoffs. So that's really what I'm looking for in that game. But we'll talk more about that definitely as the show goes on here tonight. So back to the U.S. men's national team, and it'll be interesting to see what lineup is put out here tonight. Let's go to their midfield. Anthony Robinson is really, I mean, the Robinson-Pulisic on the same side of the field is a pretty, pretty healthy thing. The national team has got to get that same or try to up that on the right side of the field. Now, with Dest out and Joe Scally, Sergiño Dest obviously is better going forward than Joe Scally. So we'll see how that works. I mentioned that the center back position is one that we're going to have to keep an eye on in the future. So let's go to the midfield that was put out. Now, remember, Tyler Adams has been out injured. So the fact that Mauricio Pochettino has been giving an opportunity to Tanner Tessman, gave an opportunity to Gianluca Busio as a starter against Panama, and Aiden Morris as a starter, tells you there's a real concern around the health of Adams. When players consistently get injured, there's a concern. I would say the same thing for Gio Reyna. as talented and gifted as he is naturally, he is a walking injury. His career has been such a start and stop. That's a real concern. I wonder about his future, to be honest with you. It's interesting. His father was injury prone, too. That's not a label you want to get stuck with. And by the way, you're not going to coast around on this U.S. men's national team, this version. Like we saw out of camp, the ball's lost, you run. I mean, it's as basic as that. If you want to see the model of sort of what's going to try to be accomplished with the national team, just watch Argentina. With a different, you know, level of players in certain places, right? So that's all I would say. Aiden Morris is playing a lot for Middlesbrough in the English Championship. Love that. I think that's a good thing for him. I loved what he did at Columbus. I love the seriousness of that player and the simplicity of him. The responsibility that he carries in a midfield. Gianluca Busio, another talent that was a part of Venezia getting promoted. But I think the fact that these young guys are getting opportunity right away is basically a crash course for Mauricio Pochettino, and he knows that there's no guarantees with health for Gio Reyna and for Tyler Adams. And then Yunus Musa, you know, getting a run in a lot wider position. He spoke after the game and talked about the fact that, wow, you know, this coach knew I could play out wide. That's another option for me. I like that. That's good for Tim Weah now because it's going to put pressure on Tim Weah. So interesting things. Aronson's energy will be something certainly that he will like. And then you got some good stuff off the bench from people. But, you know, it's opportunity for players like Tanner Tessman, Aiden Morris. We'll see how much they play tonight. Anthony Robinson's the lock at left back. Christian Pulisic's a lock. These guys are highly professional. They're the guys that perform game in and game out. Matt Turner, the concern is going to be getting games. But I think it was a good start in Austin. Positive, great impression. You get a fantastic first goal with Robinson, Pulisic, Aronson, Musa, all combining. You get a second from Pepe. So it's a lineup that shows it's open to all right now. There's no preconceived notion or status for anybody, and just what this team needs. And this team needs a bit of an iron hand, you know, as opposed to the kumbaya. I often wondered what would have happened with Gio Reyna if, in fact, the whole incident didn't happen with his crazy father and mother off the field, trying to push the envelope on that. You know, did Berhalter, you know, would he have changed his opinion on Gio Reyna? I hope Reyna gets healthy. I think he's a fantastic player and gifted, but he's a walking injury, and he's going to have to decide that he's going to fit the style of Mauricio Pochettino, not the other way around. This isn't the next coming of Pelé. So we'll see. 713-780-3776. Thoughts on either Mexico or the Mexican or the U.S. men's national team ahead of tonight's game. By the way, again, it's at 9:30 tonight. So be ready for that. 9:30 tonight. It's Mexico in the U.S., and you'll be able to pick up this game. There was a report today that Bosco Aguirre went to the hospital. I wasn't really sure what that was all about. I mean, obviously, right away you're concerned, right? What's he doing going to a hospital? Apparently, he was accompanied by a lot of people. He's had back problems. They're saying it was back problems. I'm not so sure about that, you know. Maybe, I mean, I'll believe it, right? But I just don't know why you're going to the hospital if you have back problems unless you were in excruciating pain. Hopefully it wasn't anything else where his heart raced a little bit or somebody gets nervous. That's all speculation, by the way, so I don't want to get people going. Tonight's game is in at the Estadio Akron. I guess it's about regional supremacy. I do think it's big opportunity for those that play for the U.S. tonight, because those that play for the U.S., they are getting a real opportunity to play in Guadalajara, to play in Mexico. Generally, the U.S.-Mexico games are here in the U.S., right? So, you know, this is an interesting timing for this type of thing with a brand new coach and then not all of your best players here. But this is an interesting watch with the pressure that's on Mexico and everything that's going on with them. By the way, they tied Valencia 2-2, a team that had their second and third team there. They got booed off the field. There is intense pressure tonight on this Mexican national team. And both, I don't think, are the kings of CONCACAF right now. That certainly has been dulled. So there you go. There's a lot of promise with a lot of young players for both teams, so we'll see. Mexico seems to be struggling in a bigger way. Every time they play, it seems to get worse. Group stage elimination for them in the 2022 World Cup. We had our moments where we didn't make it to a World Cup. Got a lot of players in Europe now for the U.S. that are playing better. And the reality is, you know, it wasn't working under Greg Berhalter. We could all see it. So I was on in Austin, Texas this morning, courtesy of Little Patagonia Empanadas. Every Tuesday I'm on at 9:10 Central on ESPN Austin. I go on with Noah and Aaron Hogan. And, you know, it was brought up the fact that it was just, and it may seem simple, but it was just highly professional to see Mauricio Pochettino in a suit as opposed to Greg Berhalter. Now, you might be saying, why are you going there? Because every little thing matters when it comes to professionalism and setting a tone as a coach. If you're out there in a pair of Nikes to me, Michael Jordans, and some baggy pants or khakis and a T-shirt, you know, it looks like you slept on a park bench that says States. It doesn't even say the United States. It's a bad look. You're not trying to be one of them. I never liked that. And I like Greg. He was nice. He came in. He's been in the studio where I'm talking from now. A couple of years ago, Michael Kammerman brought him here. He did a wonderful job going around the community when he first got the job. But I think that stuff means a lot to players. I know it meant a lot to me when I was playing. How your coach handles himself, his appearance, his professionalism, all that. And I'm not bagging on him for, well, I am bagging on him for his dress, yes. That was a different time with the U.S. national team. It was a little too touchy-feely for me. I still think there has to be the room given to coaches to have a hardline ability to motivate. And I think it really tipped the scales in the other way. And I think you got two coaches now with the national team programs, both Emma Hayes with the women and Mauricio Pochettino on the men's side that really give you some prestige and power and a real good look when it comes to professionalism and leadership. And listen, Greg Berhalter was probably the perfect coach for a young team that first year. So let's not take anything away from him. I think in the World Cup, their best game was against England, a 0-0 draw. If they had won that game, he would have been lauded a hero to have beaten England in a World Cup's atmosphere. But again, the U.S. struggled in group play, and they expend way too much energy every World Cup. And one day we're going to figure out whether it's player rotation, depth of our roster. We're going to figure out a way to get through the group phase, and let's hope it's in 2026, where we don't burn so much energy so that by the time we get to the knockout stages in the Netherlands, that our key players aren't exhausted because they had to play the whole time. And I mean, that means winning your first game. It means a lot of things. Easy to say from here. All right, little Run DMC. My friends at Cactus Music are going to love this. Kings of Rock. It's a fantastic song. This is when rap was great. I don't like the violent stuff, honestly. So give us respect. Run DMC.
Want a little respect.
713-780-3776 is the number to call in. I got Nations League scores when we come back. Where does MLS rank as one of the strongest leagues in the world? You might be surprised. New manager to be named for England. Hint, Chelsea. How much money was paid out around the world in lost games for injured players? I'm going to tell you when we come back. And you ever heard of Boss Nation FC? I'll tell you about them. Plus, Erling Haaland to Barcelona? Could it happen? You bet it could. And Dynamo Galaxy setup when we come back. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. Hugh O'Connor's Pub I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Get in there. Great whiskey and beer offerings. LamontBrands.com. Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats. Benefits a 501c charity. Snowdrop Foundation for Pediatric Cancer. And, of course, the Daspit Law Firm. Big thank you to John and his firm. They're personal injury attorneys. They get soccer talk on the air. They've been doing it for years. They have helped grow the sport here in Houston by giving me this vehicle and helping me with this radio show here on ESPN 97.5. And, by the way, a big thank you to ESPN 97.5 for having faith in the great game of soccer. So support the show. Like, follow, call. You name it, you do it. But right now, caller number 5 at 713-780-3776. Pair of tickets to Dynamo LA Galaxy.
Now I walked on ice and never fell. I spent my time in a plush hotel. I stood on many stages, held many mics. Take airplane flights at huge heights.
So all you sucker MCs, you gotta say please.
Cause money jumps high.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Yes, Soccer Matters listeners, you are so respectable. Respectable. You're so respectable. Here it comes. Come on, let's go, Stones. Pick it up. Here it comes. Yeah, so respectable. More great producing tonight from Austin. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. You know, I saw something incredibly disturbing, and I think it's happening more often than we think. And that is that there's the Surf Cup out in California, and these soccer fields are below where my sister lives. And there's a bunch of kids running after a referee and trying to beat up a referee. And I will fully put the blame on adults if they don't have a grip on soccer team, because those kids are mirroring somebody's behavior. But it's absolutely disgusting. And coaches, people that are at fields, come on, live up to it. All right? Jeez. I mean, it's really disturbing. It's floating around there out on the internet. Did Victor call yet? Yeah? Okay, we got Victor. All right, so Victor Ariza now from Deportes. He joins us now. Victor, come on. We appreciate you coming on the show tonight. How are you?
Hey, Glenn, always glad to be on the show. Thank you.
Deportes Nation is where Victor is, but everybody's known him in Houston for covering the Dynamo and doing a lot of writing. Real quick, before I get to you, Victor, I just want to shout out a couple of Nations League scores here. Poland 3-3 with Croatia. Scotland 0-0 with Portugal. Ronaldo missed a sitter in that, but Portugal's the top of their group. Spain 3-0 over Serbia. Laporte, Morata, and Bayern, they're on to the quarterfinals. Switzerland and Denmark 2-2. Those are some of the bigger games. Northern Ireland 5-0 over Bulgaria. Oh. That does not harken back to the days of Risto Stoichkov and Lechkov, that's for sure. All right, so Victor Ariza joins us now. Victor, some thoughts from you about where Mexico is going into this one here tonight. We've heard that there's a lot of pressure down in Mexico, and this is a pretty much a win-at-all-cost game for Bosco Aguirre and Rafa Márquez.
Yeah, tough times. I think it'll right a lot of wrongs to get a victory over the United States. Obviously, the U.S. has had that dominance more recently, and especially in the tournaments, right, in the Nations League, to be more specific. But, I mean, they're struggling, right? They're struggling to fill stadiums here in the United States. They're back to Mexico, where they were struggling to fill the game the other night against Valencia over in Puebla. So, you know, there was a lot of talk about, you know, specials for the tickets, right? A 2-for-1, the different packages at the end. You know, if they even opened the doors and let whoever wanted to come in to get a good crowd in there. But, I mean, it's, you know, fans in Mexico were having a tough time believing in the product, both national team and also the league, right? Liga MX is also suffering.
Yeah, there's been some incredibly poor attendances. I think, like, Santos or somebody, León, had, like, 3,000 people at one of their games or 4,000 people. By the way, now...
Puebla is one of the markets that are suffering. There's talk about relocation, maybe. You know, there's that talk again, right, about moving the team to another city. So, yeah, tough times.
Yeah. By the way, I am looking at Canada and Panama are 0-0 in the 40th minute. Coco Carrasquilla did not start this game, which is good for the Dynamo, if he can get a rest here tonight and not play two games ahead of the LA Galaxy game. Yeah, so listen, the power of the brand was on display here in Houston with Club America and Chivas this past weekend, over 50,000 people. Phenomenal, right? It's a different environment here. Do you think in Mexico... You know, why do you think all of a sudden fans are, is there too much product? Is there not enough entertainment? Why do you think people aren't going to Liga MX games as much?
You know, I think it's a mix of everything. Like you said, the commercialization of it is a big deal. You know, the playoff system being tinkered with, you know, taking away promotion relegation now. Right. At first it was, well, we're, you know, restructuring the league a little bit, but it's going to come back. Well, it's been years. It hasn't come back. There's been lack of interest for the same reason in some of those second division markets, not all of them. But and there's still, you know, a lot of questions about if promotion will come back. The competitiveness as well. Right. I mean, it's kind of like an MLS. I feel like we're. Sure, you have a playoff system where, you know, maybe more than half the league gets in or so, but really the real contenders are maybe a select few, right? A lot of these things, I think, all build into it. And then, of course, the national team, players aren't getting as much opportunity as they were domestically. And of course, the national team isn't having the success it used to or producing the players that it used to.
Would you say that the Mexican player is in roles of responsibility? You know, are they key playmakers on teams? Are they key strikers on teams? Or, you know, is it a lot about bringing in, you know, a lot of South Americans and people taking their jobs? And maybe it's time to get the balance a little bit leaning back towards the Mexican player. But, of course, agents and people making money, it all comes into it. Look, I would even say that's a concern with Major League Soccer and the American player. We need to do a deeper dive, but, you know, the Dynamo only field two American players to start games. So I don't know. I do think these leagues have a responsibility to their, you know, their nationals.
Right. I think it's similar, but with the difference that, you know, the U.S. is producing players, they're having minutes abroad. They're translating that to national team success, right, where Mexico now is having a lack of players. Getting opportunity, you know, some of the guys are until the end of their careers, right? And Chucky Lozano, who's coming to MLS here shortly. Raul Jimenez is starting to get some more participation with Fulham, but, I mean, he's only got, a couple of years left there. We'll see what happens with Edson Alvarez. He's probably about the only player that's really getting, you know, having maybe a more prominent role, right, in his prime years. Santi Jimenez, you know, there's been a lot of talk if he's going to move to a bigger club. Is that ever going to happen? And what does that even mean for the Mexican national team, right? Jimenez didn't have as much success either when with the national team. So I think all these things together, again, it's a lack of results, a lack of a focus on soccer mainly. And, you know, some fans, there's a lot of fans now that, I mean, you read some of these comments online, people almost want to see the national team fail so that it could hopefully go back to being about soccer and less about, you know, just money and advertising and you know, everything else that's just commercialization around the game.
Yeah, and I think it's with all sports. And, yeah, I think some – listen, there is one thing you have to say with the Mexican fan. They will vote with their wallet and their money, and they're sending a real message in Liga MX. And I think even in the U.S., you're going to have to be careful that the market doesn't get saturated. In fact, the U.S. market may be better right now than the Mexican market is for Liga MX. I mean, there's still a tremendous amount of loyalty for these teams, and we saw it with Chivas and Club America here. What if we went to six teams in each conference making the playoffs in Major League Soccer? For me, there'd be more seriousness in the first half of the year from game one on, right? Because fewer would get in. The games would be better the first couple months of the year because there would be more urgency and competition. As opposed to the we are in it until round 32 of the league. You know, it was up until last weekend that teams like Austin and some of these teams got eliminated that did not play well. I don't know. I would love that, but I don't think it'll ever happen.
No, probably not, right? And it's the same thing that, you know, the NWSL has done, increasing their field as well. Other sports, have done it right. The NFL has increased playoff spots. Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball used to be the division winners, and then you know you get one wild card. Now you got it up to a couple more, and it's so maybe more teams can get in, right? More playoff games. Again, we go back to the commercialization of sports, and you know when is it too much? To where you know you find that balance with the competitiveness. You know, the sporting side of it.
Yeah, you know, we're talking to Victor Ariza, Deportes Nation. You know, I get the internet, and I get you got to be out there. You got to be out there every day. It's hard for me. It's very conflicting for me because I just don't think people want to see a video of Glenn Davis every day. Then on the other hand, I do have to promote the show. And I get it's throw as much out there as you possibly can. And everybody who's handling these Twitter accounts for teams. But, you know, when you're a lousy team and you're losing and you get these giddy, you know, kind of TikToks and all these things, you know, it's just it's very conflicting to me, you know, for a guy that played professional soccer who. You know, and guys that played professional soccer that when they lost didn't want to go out. And by the way, nobody knew who the hell we were anyway, but we still didn't want to go out because we lost, because we were upset. I don't know. It's just a very different time. But I don't know why teams that are in last place or, you know, guys are out there posting videos and gals. It's too much to me. That also doesn't, to me, lend a lot of credibility to your fan base, to be honest with you, unless you're just trying to attract people that are really not soccer fans. Major League Soccer now, Victor, is ranked the ninth strongest league in the world, according to Opta. What do you think about that?
Oh, I guess good for them. Is there a trophy for that? I mean, look, we know, I think MLS is trending in the right direction. Certainly Messi coming here helped a lot of it, especially getting attention. But I think we still have a lot of ways to go, right, to being one of the top leagues in the world.
Yeah, no question. A couple of bits of news here. The NWSL is going to have a team in Boston. They're going to call it Boss Nation FC, for what it's worth. And it says, their statement said, quote, doesn't just represent the fans. It signifies a collective identity made up of an entirety of its fan base. Well, memo to Boss Nation, you don't have a fan base yet. Okay, so you're going to have to go out and build one. You don't have a fan base yet, so don't assume you have a fan base. You're going to have to work to get a fan base. Barcelona in 2025, 2026, you think Erling Haaland's going to be there? Joan Laporta said this could, he wants Haaland there, and it could possibly coincide with Pep Guardiola leaving Man City. It would be a huge media signing. Do you think that's something we could see? I think so, Victor.
Maybe. I mean, is Guardiola going to pay for him in part? Or, I mean, I guess it could happen. It would be that strange just because of the brand of Barcelona. But I don't know. I mean, if Barcelona's still having, you know, money problems, is Erling Haaland going to want to go that badly?
Yeah, I think it depends on his desire for sure. But, you know, if Guardiola goes somewhere, I don't know. It depends a lot on Guardiola's future, maybe. By the way, Thomas Tuchel is set to be named the new coach of the England national team. Lee Carsley, was hoping he would get it, the interim boss, after the loss to Greece. That ain't going to happen. Tuchel's out of work since the Bayern Munich time. He would be... I mean, this is stunning to me. The English are going to let a German coach their national team. Are you kidding? What is the world coming to? What is the world coming to? Tuchel won the Champions League, by the way, with Chelsea. All right, Dynamo Galaxy, Victor, I want to take you into this. Last three games, loss at Seattle 1-0, didn't play well. Home win against New England, played a good 45 minutes. That's one of the worst teams in the league, though, that has had some toxicity in their locker room. There's no question, I know that. And then a loss at St. Louis, 3-0. That makes this game against L.A. to me a very, very important game based on how you want to enter the playoffs. What do you say?
Yeah, I think, like you said, I mean, I'm sure they want to set the tone of having a winning run into it, having a better taste in their mouth in that perspective, maybe getting Herrera back on the field if he's able to and trying to, you know, kind of align everything. But it's also going to be interesting to see who they end up getting, because I think that's going to be as key more than anything. You know, if they get a Seattle or even an LAFC, that's going to be a tough, tough outing in the first game in the playoffs, where I'm sure with Salt Lake, they feel much more confident.
Yeah, I would think so, based on their results against them, although teams change going into playoffs. The Dynamo could end up anywhere from 5-7, to your point, and if they were to lose to L.A., Colorado and Minnesota could definitely both leapfrog them. So, yeah.
And I think that lies more the motivation of winning, because I think, right, the results are probably, if they win, they'd probably line up with Salt Lake, which, again, I think everybody feels more confident about.
Yeah, I think that would be the standard thought there. Franco Escobar is not available for this game, so I would expect Daniel Starris will get the start. This is a Galaxy team that's third in the league in goals scored. They've scored 23 more goals than the Dynamo. The Dynamo have scored 45. This team has scored a whopping 68 goals. It's pretty incredible. Now, to the Dynamo standpoint, the Dynamo have conceded 10 fewer goals than the LA Galaxy. The Galaxy are plus 20 goal differential, and they've won 6 road games. They've drawn 4. But, man, they have, Pantsel, Jovalic, Peck, Ricky Pooch. That's a lot of attacking talent, Victor, here. You got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think, you know, taking away Miami, because, you know, they're going to look at the points, right? They were the worst place last year. And going to Supporters Shield this year, they're going to be looked at the most improved team. But I think if you just base it on... maybe just take away just the points. LA Galaxy has a case of being the most improved. Gabriel Peck has obviously been maybe the best signing of the year, if you look around the league. So dangerous team. It'll be a good first test before the playoff.
Victor, thanks for joining us tonight. Victor Ariza, ESPN. Sorry, I was about to say ESPN Deportes. Deportes Nation is where you can find Victor. And Victor's a good friend of the show, good friend of mine. I appreciate you coming on with all your thoughts tonight, Victor. We will take a break, and we will see you down at the stadium, Victor. Thanks so much for coming on tonight.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right, so that's Victor Ariza. Caller number 5 right now. How about a 3-pack? A 3-pack to the Dynamo Galaxy. Caller number 5 at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Caller number 5. Dynamo Galaxy tickets right now as we take a break.
Soccer Matters is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. 713, call now.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. What a night it is. The U.S. getting set to take on Mexico. We've discussed a lot about this game here tonight. But we're going to end it in style here from Guadalajara, Mexico. He is a former U.S. international. He is Marcelo Balboa, and he joins us now. Marcelo, greetings down in Guadalajara.
What's up? I tell you right now, my highlight, and I'm in Guadalajara. I got to watch practice yesterday, Mexico. I got to watch U.S. I got to meet Pochettino, which was an awesome day. But my highlight's watching the wedding crashers in Spanish. Awesome.
I thought you were going to say the highlight of my career was doing HDNet with you, Glenn. But okay,
that was too,
I won't take it personal.
Listen, when you can watch Wedding Crashers in Spanish, it's awesome.
All right, let's get your thoughts on Mauricio Pochettino's first week. I know we can't read a whole lot into it, but just in general from you, the 2-0 win over Panama and Austin.
Listen, it was a good win, solid win. I thought the first half they were a little safe. We didn't really see Robinson attack a lot. You kind of saw him set back. And I think when the second half he released him a little bit, or he was able to release himself to go forward a little bit more, all of a sudden the U.S. had a little bit more control. They took a few more risks. And yes, Turner had to come up with a few good saves like most goalkeepers have to do in most games. But overall, I think it was a positive result. And again, listen, it's going to take time for him to establish the playing style, the tactics he wants. But I think that if you go back to the last game, it wasn't a great result against Panama, and they got a 2-0 result. So that's a good sign, missing a lot of players still.
Marcelo Balboa, former U.S. international, has played against Mexico in many, many thrilling games over the history. He knows all about this rivalry. He joins us. Marcelo, back to Mauricio Pochettino. When you saw him hired, were you as excited as I was?
Listen, I was super excited because he checked 99% of the boxes. We talked about a guy who's been coaching in Europe, all of our players in Europe, understanding how to coach big-name players. Harry Kane is a big-name player with Tottenham. He got to coach those guys. He was in PSG. He had big name players. So I think every box we needed checked, he checked. And I'll be honest with you, Glenn, and when I met him yesterday and had a lovely conversation, first I was shocked that he even knew who I was. But talking to him and listening to him and trying to understand how he wants to do things, it's a process and everything. I got to be honest, I 100% think it's the right choice.
Marcelo Balboa joining us here. Though back to Pochettino, and U.S. soccer, I felt like U.S. soccer's focus really wasn't primarily on winning and competition. I feel that's changed now, and in a lot of ways it's changed because of two very good hires, one in Mauricio Pochettino for the men's side and Emma Hayes for the women's side.
Listen, I think that I think we've always wanted to win, Glenn. Being part of the U.S., there was a period of certain generations, we'll say, I think, that took for granted a little bit wearing the jersey. And I think they moved that generation on, and now we've got this golden generation. And they have yet to live up to what we expect and what everybody else expects. Don't you feel the same way about this group right now?
Yeah, I think initially it seemed to be good, and then it seemed to really flatline.
Yeah, listen, I think we all understand Nations League. It's basically another version of the Gold Cup. The Gold Cup, they play. But I think we need to do something special. You know what I mean? And what I mean by that is international tournaments. The World Cup is going to be huge for this group, for Pochettino. And we'll all judge Pochettino on what happens in the World Cup. Doesn't matter leading up to it, leading not. We're always going to judge a team on by what they do in the biggest tournament in the world. So I think that I think it's the right hire. I think, like I said, listen, Tim Ream said it the other day. He's been here, I think, 12 years, 14 years with the national team, and he's never had a two-hour session. And the other day, they had a two-hour session with Pochettino, him trying to implement his system, players understand it. So I like that mentality already of him coming in, and it's not a, we're here, it's the national team, it's supposed to be laid back. No, no, no. We're going to work, and you're going to learn what I want. So I think it's awesome.
Yeah, kumbaya is gone. You got a new bar that's going to raise. Yep. And obviously, it's a guy that everybody has to reprove themselves to, really. And that's what I love about him. He just bleeds football. He bleeds professionalism. I thought U.S. soccer for a time period, honestly, got overly political for me and for a lot of people that support our national teams, both men and women.
Well, I just like that we finally, we're thinking out of the box as a federation. They hired Bora. That's thinking out of a normal box. We usually were hiring an American coach. And look what that team did. It was probably still one of the top teams in U.S. soccer history of what they did and what we did with the resources we had at that time. So now we went back to an American coach, Steve Sampson, huge failure. Then you go to Bob Bradley. Bob didn't do anything different than any other coach did. Bruce Arena did. He got him out of the group phase. He got him past the fifth game. You know what I mean? So all of a sudden, and then we go back to Bruce Arena and we had failure again. We didn't get out of the group. So I think we're finally at a point where Greg, with all due respect, Greg did a nice job with this young group, but again, got out of the group and we lost. So this is now thinking out of the box, hiring a coach with all this experience, with all this talent. Now comes the hard part. You hired him. That's the easy part. Now the hard part is he's got to get results and he's got to get them in the right tournament. So, but overall, we're taking the right strides in the right place.
Yeah, I think the American soccer fans should be proud of themselves because they provided some real healthy pressure that I think was acted upon, quite frankly, to a degree.
Pressure that we've needed for a long time from our fans on our federation.
Yeah.
Pushing them in the right direction. You know what I mean? So I applaud them too.
New chapter, two new coaches here tonight for both the U.S. and Mexico, both trying to establish something new, two national team programs that have kind of flatlined as of late. And Mexico tonight is the host nation in Guadalajara, Stadio Akron. It used to be the OmniLife, a chance to gain something positive. So let's start with Mexico first, Marcelo. What's kind of the feeling on the streets right now? Because they were booed off the field in a 2-2 draw with Valencia, and Valencia didn't even bring their full first team.
Now, first, let me say this, Glenn. Thoughts and prayers are out to Javier Aguirre and his family because right now the reports are that he is in the hospital.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And two reports came out. So our thoughts and prayers are with them. And listen, I was able to listen to the press conference yesterday. I talked to Guardado and talked to some of the Mexican Federation people. And it's a process. They're in the process. Here's the problem. We went through this process. We had a huge failure, probably the biggest failure we've ever had in U.S. soccer history was the 2018 group, 2017 group that didn't qualify for the World Cup. It took us 3 years to rebuild and to be at the point where we're at now, where we gave all these young players an opportunity in 2019 and 2000, you know what I mean? And we finally built. Mexico's in that same process, but it's unfortunate we had 3 years for them. They have less than a year to figure this out because the World Cup's right around the corner. So Aguirre is trying to do everything he can to not finalized, but to find a group of 20-something odd players that he feels are the best players for Mexico and put them in a system. And even Guardado said it yesterday that some guys took the national team shirt for granted last year. And those are the kind of players that shouldn't be on this team. So, and I agree with him. I agree 100% with him. When you put on a national team jersey, be it Mexico, be it U.S., be it Argentina, be it Brazil, you have to give everything you got. And you have to give that little bit of extra. And I'm not sure that this generation of Mexican players has done that. Not now. I mean, now that Aguirre is taken over, it's a little different. But before that, I have to say, I have to agree with what they've been saying, that a few guys have taken it for granted being on the national team.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Is part of this, though, I mean, has this rivalry become tamer for a number of reasons, maybe? The fact that U.S. and Mexico now do a lot of soccer business together, the fact that Mexican League isn't getting the attendance in a lot of places. I mean, there's a lot of factors that are going on. Mexican players maybe not in roles of responsibility in their Liga MX teams. Do you see
But
this a
Glenn,
tamer
let me ask you
rivalry?
this, but hold on. But you're a soccer guy. You can go back throughout the history of Mexican soccer and you can name in every generation certain four or five players who were leaders, who were guys that led this team from Cuauhtémoc Blanco to Zague to Hermosillo to García Aspe to Paco Palencia to Claudio Suárez. Correct? You can go back. Name me a player in this generation that it's in that, we'll say, idol or that legendary player. Tell me a player right now in this Mexican team that you can put in that category of players.
Yeah,
You
I
can't.
don't. I don't
You can't
because,
right now. Guardado's the
and
only
it,
one.
right. And that gets back to my point of, what's going on with agents, what's going on with the Mexican League, what's going on with player development. And then, listen, this is something that was not going on in your day. This business relationship with MLS and US soccer, there's a lot of shared interests, which I think sometimes can dull the sword of competition.
I don't think it's dulling the sword, Glenn. I think it's my opinion and my opinion only. A lot of American players leave because they want to play in the best league in the world, right? They want to challenge themselves in Europe and all these places, correct? Their goal, our goal as kids in the United States is to play in Champions League. Am I wrong?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
The Mexican
You're not
players
wrong.
get paid. The Mexican players get paid so well in Mexico. Why would you take a pay cut and go to Europe? Some guys are doing it, don't get me wrong, but the majority of the guys are comfortable here in Mexico. They make good money. They've got family. They've got friends. They've got a comfortable life. And when you get comfortable, you're not going to play your best soccer. You've got to put yourself in a situation where you're uncomfortable. The environment's uncomfortable, where it's going to challenge you every day. You can't put a 10-year-old that's the highest, let's say we got a 10-year-old who is probably the best player in the club. You can't play him with the 10s the rest of the year or for the next 2 years and keep him in his age group because he's not going to get any better. He's not being challenged. That kid you got to put with the U12s and put him in an environment where he's uncomfortable again. I don't think the Mexican players are uncomfortable in the environment they're in because they're very comfortable here in Mexico.
So what I'm hearing is you're challenging what is a deficiency in the Mexican mentality when it comes to competitive soccer.
I think that it's you have to put yourself. The best Mexican team I saw was when Juan Carlos Osorio was here. I think it was 70% of their players were playing over in Europe. You remember how difficult it was to beat Mexico back in those days? It was difficult to beat Mexico. Their players were playing in Europe. It's switched again, and a lot of the players are playing here in Mexico. I'm not saying, listen, Mexico is an awesome league. I played for León, and it challenged me like there was no tomorrow. You know what I mean? But again, I
Yeah,
put
but what
myself
you were
in an
coming
environment
from
that's
a different
uncomfortable.
environment to a
But
new
that's what I'm saying.
environment.
I put myself in an environment that was uncomfortable for me. You know what I mean? I had to fight and scratch and earn respect.
Yeah.
The Mexican players need to do the same. This younger generation needs to do the same thing. The only blessing I will say right now is they're looking for a younger player. This kid, Obed Vargas, that plays
Yeah.
for Seattle, is
Seattle.
here with
Yeah, good player.
Mexico. That's awesome. That's an uncomfortable environment for me, and that's only going to make him better for Seattle.
But I see a lot of things that make me like Azteca is not the theater of death anymore going in there. The Mexican national team doesn't even wear the green jersey anymore, which used to literally put fear
Well,
in the
but hold
eyes
on.
of all fans of
But
the
hold on, Glenn.
opposition.
Hold on. The advantage Mexico had back when we played, all of the Mexican players were playing for America, Cruz Azul. They were playing in Mexico City. So when you went to Mexico City, they were already acclimated. They ran through you with the players they had. Now it's changed. A lot of players are playing outside of Mexico City. So when they come into Mexico City, they no longer have the advantage because their players aren't used to the altitude. And that's the biggest problem is Juan Carlos Osorio had is that when he brought them into Mexico City, there the advantage was gone. The advantage, and
I
they figured,
just
you know,
look
listen.
at it and
No.
it
No, but
doesn't
Glenn,
seem like
listen.
the home field advantage it once was. People aren't
Sunday,
afraid to go in there.
but this is what I'm saying to you. Sunday at 1 o'clock, in Azteca Stadium, Mexico was untouchable. Now they're playing games at 7 o'clock at night when it's not 100 degrees outside and it's 60 degrees, 70 degrees. The climate fits other teams. It took the advantage away of what Mexico had when they played us. You know what I mean? That advantage is gone playing at Azteca.
By the way, watch Marcelo tonight on 2 to NA with Kikin Fonseca, Oswaldo Sanchez, and Paco Gonzalez. What's the general mood of the Mexican fan and the media now outside of the whole issue with, again, and our thoughts are with Javier Aguirre. Yeah. What is the Mexican fan feeling right now?
I'll make it very clear, and you'll hear it tonight on 2 to NA with Oswaldo and Kikin. They've been saying to me, it does not matter how we play tonight. The most important thing is we can play crappy soccer, but we have to beat the United States tonight. That's it. That's the mentality right now. If they were to lose tonight, or if they were to tie the United States, they will get booed off the field because they know, listen, to Pulisic's not here. Weston McKennie's not here. Tyler Adams not here. Gio Reyna's not here. Tim Weah's not here.
Sergio,
you look at Chris Richards. I mean, there's quite a few players. Pepe got sent home. So you're looking at 8 players that aren't here tonight. So this, they keep saying, if we're going to beat the United States, this is our best chance to beat them. So if they don't win tonight, I would expect them to get booed off the field, Glenn.
Yeah, and they did get booed off the field in the 2-2 draw with Valencia recently. Marcelo Balboa, again, will be on the 2 to NA broadcast. Tune into that tonight. Historically for you, Marcelo, you played against a lot of great strikers.
So it is sold out.
Yeah.
You broke up on me, brother.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. I got you back. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, historically, in the matches that you played in, you played against the likes of Carlos Hermosillo, Luis Hernandez, Zaguinho, Luis Garcia, Paco Palencia.
Yep.
Many, many different strikers with different qualities. Which was the toughest that you had to go up against?
I think me and Lexi liked matching up against Zague and Hermosillo because they were not as fast and they were bigger, taller like we were. Team players, I'd say El Matador, Luis Hernandez, because he was quicker, shorter. He moved really well, really athletic, and had great pace. He was very difficult to mark as one of the more difficult strikers that the Mexico had.
Yep. Marcelo Balboa joining us again. 2 to NA coming up. Tune into them. This is Guadalajara, Mexico. It is the United States against the Mexican national team. We're giving you a little bit of a prep here. Marcelo, before I let you go, just speak to me a little bit about, you know, what a win tonight for the U.S. would mean. And obviously, it's a lot of opportunity for others based on a lot of the players you mentioned that aren't going to be available for the U.S., either injured or already sent home.
One, let's just go with that. I think that every when you look at Weston McKennie sitting home, muscular problems, workload for Christian Pulisic. So they're watching, they're managing the workload. So anytime there's an opportunity, this is a huge opportunity for a lot of players tonight, Glenn. The fact that Pochettino will give them a chance, you got a chance to prove yourself against our biggest rival in Mexico City. If you do well tonight, I think that's going to open up like Sendejas tonight. If Sendejas does well tonight, that could open up a huge door for him into the next camp. So I think anytime you get an opportunity like this to see the younger players and a player gets an opportunity to start, it's a huge moment for them because this will be the first time the coach gets to see him in a real game, in a big game. And if they can handle this kind of pressure like Sendejas, and we keep taking Sendejas because he plays for Club America, which is Chivas' rival. If he starts, I can guarantee you he will be booed every time he touches the ball. Imagine he goes out, gets an assist and a goal. Now Pochettino's thinking, okay, this kid can handle the big-time pressure in a big-time game against his rival in Mexico. He's Mexican. He's playing for the U.S. So I think this is going to open up a lot of opportunities for players. Now you got to hope that some of these young players can step through that door and show Pochettino what they can do.
going to be a fascinating night, a lot of storylines, different ones. We went over a few of them. It's a new chapter for both the U.S. and Mexico with two new coaches. Marcelo, have a great call tonight on 2 to NA, and thanks for helping us prep it here back in the United States.
Thank you, bro. I'll give you one more. The U.S. has only won one game, lost 23, and four ties in Mexico. Over the last four games, they've won one, they haven't lost, and they've had three ties in Mexico. So should be a great game in Guadalajara tonight.
Some good stats right there. All right, Marcelo, thank you very much. That'll do it tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Podcast of this show available at Spotify, Apple, Google. Remember our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713. Call now. Until next Tuesday night, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Big news! Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. It's Black Friday in July. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Get our lowest prices of the summer for 5 days only. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals with fast and free shipping site-wide. So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off now through July 28th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.